Welcome back to the Romans Bible Study. We're doing Romans 3, 9 through 20, titled, None Are Righteous. Some more uncomfortable things to look at here, but be brave. Read these verses before we get started. Try to commit them to memory. Pray before you start this study. It helps to have that humble and repentant heart in mind as you go through Romans 3, 9 through 20. So, and let's start with a review. I always like to begin with what Calvin said on the theme of Romans, that man's only righteousness is the mercy of God in Christ when it's offered by the gospel and received by faith, and only received because the Holy Spirit is in us. Holy Spirit first did a work in us. And it's really important to connect all of this back to Romans 1:17. The righteous shall live by faith. And that's connected to the Old Testament, Habakkuk 2:4. So Romans 2, that hammered on sin and hypocrisy. Outward signs don't save us. Romans 3, what we're in now, that continues hammering on sin. And some people might find it distasteful to keep bringing up the same accusations. And our world today might say, this isn't nice. I forget where, but I read a good statement that we, quote, don't want to focus on nice. We want to focus on what is good. And just another side note here is the Hawaii state motto is the life of the land is perpetuated in righteousness, not niceness. The Hawaii state motto was formed when Hawaii was majority Christian in population. In Mere Christianity, Lewis said, quote, it cost God nothing, so far as we know, to create nice things, but to convert rebellious wills cost his crucifixion. So niceness isn't God's aim, in other words. So reviewing the end of Romans 3 verse 8 from the last study, why not do evil that good may come? We'll see Paul answer that repeatedly here in verses 9 through 20. It was a big accusation people were throwing at him. That kind of response shouldn't surprise us. It's by people who don't want to think deeper on God's nature or our own human nature. People who say such things, they think we're born good, but the Bible says we're born sinners. People who think things like this, I imagine God also considers that a sin to think like that. As Jesus said, if you even think about things like adultery, that's the same as committing it. Matthew 5:28. In other words, thinking about doing evil, you might as well be committing that in God's eyes. So introducing verses 9 through 20 here, Paul, he again reiterates our fallen human condition. It's hard to listen to. It's probably why Paul keeps at it, though, because we just want this to go in one ear and out the other. I mean, who wants to listen to how bad they are on repeat? But the thing is, we need to hear this from God because his assessment is true. We don't have to take this from other people, but we can try to listen respectfully and see if what they're telling us is in line with Scripture. Now, the majority of this passage is Paul quoting the Old Testament. So Psalm 14, 1 through 3, Psalm 5, 9, Jeremiah 5, 16, Psalm 140, verse 3, Psalm 10, 7, Proverbs 1, 16, Luke 1, 79, and Psalm 36, 1. 8 different verses, mostly Psalms and Proverbs. And that's a hint to us to read those frequently. We looked a lot at Psalm 51 in the last Bible study. Notice how much of Paul's writing so far referenced the Old Testament. This is deductive reasoning. It's what that's called, the application of foundational truths to unlock new truths. God had to intentionally design our brains to think deductively, to apply truths in a new situation, to develop new truths. There are very few things in this world that we can do this with. Most of the time, the foundational ideas are false. So when we try to use deductive reasoning, we just create more false ideas. Now, going into my math background here in math nerd mode, over 2,000 years ago, Euclid, he did a survey of all the known math at the time, and from that came up with 10 truths, 5 of which only applied to flat surfaces, so really just 5 universal truths. Now, only the Bible tops Euclid's book. His book is called The Elements, as the world's most popular book. So truth is popular, in other words. It's also hard to find. But don't just seek truth, seek the capital source of it. Now, God also designed us to think inductively, to find rules. And you can see this in places like Genesis 1, 26 through 28, where some translations say, have dominion or rule over creation. And God didn't give us a giant rule book to show us how to rule over creation, but he designed us with inductive reasoning so we could find rules like Boyle's law, P1 V1 equals P2 V2, or Newton's second law, force equals mass times acceleration, things like that. Okay, I think that's enough of an intro and review. Let's get into this verse 9. What then? Are we Jews any better off? Not at all. Jews and Greeks both are under sin. And we've already seen this in Romans as well. This is not something new Paul's saying here in verse 9. So all are under sin. Romans 1:14, preaching to all. Romans 2:12, shows sin of both Jew and Greek. Romans 3:4, every man a liar. And of course, when he's saying that, he's saying man and woman. I mean, imagine if he had to say man and woman to make it clear that he's talking about male and female every single time. This isn't some women get off the hook or anti-woman thing here. So I wouldn't go down that rabbit trail. I'd caution you against that, especially if you're female. And Romans 3:9 here. Prior to this verse, Paul's been comparing and contrasting Jew and Gentile, but he's done that in a way to show that all have sinned. So I think it's interesting how Paul said Jews have an advantage in Romans 3, 1 and 2. And now he's saying just because you have an advantage, that doesn't make you any better off in the end. Verse 10, none is righteous, not one perfectly righteous person, except Jesus. So one of the most uncomfortable verses in the Bible, yet one of the most important, and the title of this lesson. Verse 11, no one understands or seeks after him. Remember those verses I read earlier, the Old Testament verses? Paul's quoting the Old Testament here. He's not making new stuff up. This is not new information that the Jews and the Gentiles in the past didn't know about. None understand or seek after him in our natural human condition. It's been this way since the fall, since Adam and Eve sinned. In our natural human condition, we don't do this on our own. If unbelievers get prompted to go to church one day, it was because of God, not themselves and their great decision making. He led them there. Sproul says Thomas Aquinas was asked once that there do seem to be non-Christians seeking after God. Aquinas replied that they are seeking purpose, not God. They want the benefits of God, so we assume they're seeking God. Sproul said, quote, that is the very dilemma of fallen creatures, fallen humans. We want the things that only God can give us, but we do not want Him. We want peace, but not the Prince of Peace. Jesus. We want purpose, but not the sovereign purpose decreed by God. We want meaning found in ourselves, but not in His rule over us. We see desperate people and assume they're seeking for God, but they're not. And how do we know this? Well, because the Bible says so. End of quote. Truth seekers, yes. God seekers, no. Reductionism, again, there. Oversimplifying things. Wanting one thing instead of everything. Let God be true, Romans 3:4 from the last study. Let God be true, every man a liar. That connects God with truth. That's important. If we do truly seek God, it's a clear indication that we are already in the kingdom. We're already on that team Jesus. Sproul says that Jesus seeks believers. All the verses about opening doors, those are addressed to the church, to believers, in other words. So, knock and it will open, Luke 11:9. Seek, Isaiah 55:6. Seek and find, Matthew 7:7. I stand at the door and knock, Revelations 3:20. So, verse 12, all have turned aside, together have become worthless. Wow. So, off the path, away. Jesus said, I am the way. In John 14:6, and the way, that's phrase, the way is the name early Christians were given. That's what they were called, is the way. Now, verse 12 even says that there's, quote, none who does good, which seems really harsh when we think of soldiers sacrificing themselves in the line of duty and other things like that. But God doesn't consider our outward action only, but our inward motivations as well. There's that reductionism again. We just want to look at the works, which we should honor and respect, but God wants it all. So verses 13 and 14, it's talking about deceivers here, cursing and bitter. We use our words in terrible ways. Think about how we talk, like F-bombs and other foul language is much more the norm than when I was younger. I think it's gotten worse in some circles. Sometimes it seems better in movies, but worse in the public and other places. But anyways, in the 2025 podcasting world, I think of Joe Rogan or Tucker Carlson. These are intelligent men interested in learning and the truth, but then we'll drop like 5 F-bombs in 5 seconds. It's like, dude, where'd your vocabulary go? Anyways, cursing and bitterness, those often go hand in hand. That's why they're together here in verse 14. Some of that, I think, is because we aren't really seeking him and therefore don't understand human nature like Paul does here. When we don't have a Romans 3 understanding of true human nature, it's more shocking to us when people deceive, cheat, lie, etc. And so we respond with cursing and bitterness. We miss the unrighteousness in ourselves and mostly just see it in others, that hypocrisy that we have built in. Verses 15 through 18, more description of deceivers. And when you read this, there's quotes around it because this is all referencing the Old Testament here. And Sproul says the most peaceful century in the history of Western civilization was the first century. The second most peaceful was the 19th century, which led to optimism. Then the 20th century was the worst, and still yet to see about the 21st, but definitely not peaceful in the 21st. So verse 18 there, it says, these deceivers, there's no fear of God before their eyes. That's a terrible recipe for disaster. Verse 19, the whole world may be held accountable to God, it says. The whole world is guilty before God. Wow. Judgment Day is going to reveal it all. Verse 20, wrapping it up. Some translations, they start with therefore. The ESV starts with for by works of the law. So a way to think about this is a conclusion here from the previous statements and the string of Old Testament passages Paul writes about. The conclusion of all these verses is how good we are. No, it's on how bad we are and that no one is justified by works, by trying to follow the law, because we all break it at some point. There's so many things in the Bible that point to how following the law doesn't get us to heaven, from the entire book of Romans to the lack of effectiveness of the entire sacrificial system in the Old Testament, to Jesus making the old system meaningless with his death, burial, and resurrection, which also made the temple meaningless, which Jesus predicted would be destroyed, which it was in AD 70. And now we are the temples because as believers, Christ is in us, so we should treat our bodies as temples. And that's why often when I did this Bible study with a group of young men on Sunday mornings, I'd bring wild venison steak for snacks. Healthy body as a temple kind of thing for them. So, concluding, no human being will be justified in his sight. That's what verse 20 says. That's a grim conclusion. But dawn is coming. Like in Lord of the Rings, when all seems hopeless, Gandalf says, at dawn, on the fifth morning, look to the east. So keep looking. Grace is coming. Up next, Romans 3, 21 through 31. And the doctrine of sola fide, justification by faith alone, which R.C. Sproul believes provoked the most serious controversy in the history of the Christian church. And speaking of controversy, up next is an AI-generated song about Romans 3 and about justification by faith alone, through Christ alone, through grace alone. Don't know what your feelings are on AI-generated music. That's creating quite a controversy, but listen here.
Riding down the valley, the Romans 3 in mind. Dust on the mirror, truth I can't hide. law wrote the charge, my heart took the fall. But mercy showed up, outlawed it all. Faith alone, grace alone, Christ alone. Not the good I've done or the seeds I've sown. Blood was the price, love made it known. Faith alone, grace alone, Christ alone. Souls dead, but righteousness came from a cross and a nail. When the stone rolled away, the verdict fell. Faith alone, grace alone, Christ alone. Not the good I've done or the seeds I've sown. Blood was the price, love. Christ alone.